Kayla?
Just about.
Okay, I'd like to welcome you all out to our planning commission meeting tonight. We'll start with the word of prayer. Member Stevens will offer that for us.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as we meet this evening, we pray for thy spirit to be here with us and help us as we go through these agenda items, that we may be able to have the interest of those in mind and how better to serve and help those in our community. We're grateful to live here in this valley, to be amongst friends and be able to associate with one another. We pray for thy guidance and thy help this evening, and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Have a motion to approve our agenda.
So moved.
Member Stevens. Do you have a second?
I'll second it.
Member Sessions. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have a declaration of conflict of interest with any of the agenda items by members of the Planning Commission. Okay, none?
Mr. Chairman,
Member Wilson.
I'm going to withdraw number 9.
Okay, Member Wilson. Item number 9. Make a note of that. Okay, have a motion to go into public comment.
So moved.
Member Newton. Second.
Second.
Member Erickson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, this time we're in public comment. If you have any comments pertaining to any of these agenda items, now's the time to voice them. Once we go out of public comment, it will just be the applicant and staff that will be addressing the Planning Commission. Any public comment? All right. Seeing none, motion to go out of public comment.
So moved.
Member Newton. Do we have a second?
Second.
Who's that?
Wilson.
Member Wilson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Can you hear okay, Member Sawyer?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Item number 5, discussion decision on the Sauer. See you conditional use permit, requesting conditional use for excavation. Who's the applicant?
Right here.
Okay. You'd come up to the podium, state your name, so Michaela can get that on a record, and then.
My name's Randy Sauer.
Tell us what you want.
Okay, we're looking to build on that. We have a couple of lots on Highland Drive, lot 50 and 51, and we're ready to start building our dream home on that lot. We've gone through a couple of iterations. The first plan that we have through review with the county and the county engineer, and they found a couple of problems with that, so we had to basically start all over and come up with a new house plan and new engineering, civil engineering. And just to, in case you didn't know, it's a pretty steep lot, so there's some challenges to it right there. That's why we're doing the CUP, because there's so much dirt work involved. But so we came up with this new house plan right here. I don't know if I can hold it up very well, but some of the things that we did to make sure that it conforms to the hillside and kind of blends in with the topography and stuff is you can see the contours are kind of shaped like a chevron. So we basically came up with a house plan that's also shaped like a chevron, and it's going to kind of step down the side of the hill. So we're really... this is kind of some of the changes that we made to kind of conform to the hillside right there. And I believe the county engineer's reviewed it, and I think we've gone through all of the corrections that he's brought up, and I think we've complied with everything. So we're hoping we can get a building permit. First off, a CUP.
Okay. Questions by a member of the commission? One question I have is, how much dirt are we anticipating on excavating?
Right now, I didn't bring the total. It's mostly cut and fills. They come from the top of the hill and they go to fill the bottom side right there. it's pretty much a balanced site. Right now, we're figuring there's about 48 yards of export. We're going to be bringing in a little bit of structural fill for the pad and some gravel and stuff, but it's right now, it's pretty much a balanced site. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, plus you're bringing 48
yards of export. We're taking 48 yards of dirt off the site. We'll probably be bringing in probably about 100 yards of base material for the slabs and things like that.
Okay.
Base for the footings.
Okay, and then what about your access across the existing or the neighboring lot?
That's mine, actually. I have lot 50 and 51, so we just cut a corner of lot 51, and so we'll drop the paperwork for that. That's my lot.
So are you just doing an easement across there? Is that
yes,
what you're
sir.
Doing?
Yes.
Okay. And then, okay, so with the couple of the questions they had was the runoff.
One of the things, we did a stormwater pollution prevention plan and did some drainage. We did some riprap. We had some more civil engineering done once the engineer brought that up to us, and that's been resubmitted to him. So we've captured all of that water, and there's it drains off. There's some riprap that comes down the front right there and takes care of it. I believe that the county engineer has reviewed that, and he's approved it.
Okay. And this is just for the excavation, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions?
Mine is just like with the engineer, questions to the engineer, but not to the applicant.
Okay, so is Mark here?
He's not coming.
We're all being in transit.
Okay, well, because that was one of the other questions I had is, All these geological reports are all 6 and 7 years old. Is it going to be in the best interest of the county to have these current?
It's a question better asked for Mark. It's a technical question, an engineering question. If it's a question that needs to be answered before the Planning Commission is comfortable, I would recommend amending the agenda, bumping the item to the other meeting, get Mark up here, and then readdressing that.
Mr. Haslam, I'd like to say that the engineering that was done 6-7 years ago when it was in its infancy, we've rehired the same engineer that did those, and he's done a re-exploration. We went back just recently, just before we redid this, once we did the new plan. It's the same engineer. He's a very sharp guy. Well, Mark can decide that, but it's the same engineer. He's done the re-engineering. We did some test holes, and he just validated all the things that were in the previous one. So it is the same engineer, and we do have current information on that.
So do we have?
It should be in this report right here. It's I can walk you through. It's GeoStrata. It's this right here. I don't know what page numbers. It's.
Well, we have the GeoStrata.
Yeah. Exhibit C.
It's the same engineer. He works for a different company now. He works for GeoStrata, but it's the same engineer.
The September 24th, 2013?
Yeah, that's, let's see, Mark Christensen.
So?
That would, sounds right.
Okay, so Charlie, is this GeoStrata report from, is this what Mark is basing his decision off of, is on this 2013?
Yeah, Mark's reviewed the information that you guys have in front. And
both days. Okay, just 1 second.
Yeah, it's right at the beginning right there. So it's dated September the 24th. You're right in the sessions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and Mark still is in the back, right? So is that what this, okay, so Charlie, is that what this one from Wasatch Civil is for in the back, dated the 14th of November?
Mark's,
it would be Mark's review.
Yeah, Mark's review dated November 14th. It was based on he was fine with everything except for some the drainage issues that were on the retaining walls from Reeves and Associates. We did a redraw on that, sent it to him, and that was his thing stating back that he was fine with all the conditions.
Well, go ahead.
It's also my understanding from reading the report that once excavation is completed, there is also a revalidation of...
There is, in fact. I encourage that myself. My contract with Mark Christensen, the engineer, is that he is actually going to be coming out there. It's in part of his contract to come out during excavation. He's going to be witnessing it. When we first start digging out there, he's going to be on site. So, and he'll give me something at the end of the project. I want him to be responsible for this as well. So he's going to be reviewing it during the course of construction. At the end, I'll probably get something validating from him or some, you know, something, you know, stating that everything is okay. But that's part of his contract to do that. Okay.
That's all part of the inspection scheduling, then, correct?
Yes.
On page 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, any other questions?
Harley, I have a question for you. There's an Exhibit C, the slope stability analysis that was done back in 2006, April 7th, and it does say that the Western Geologics report does not identify any existing landslides which pose a risk to the subject lots, but it does go on to say that an existing landslide is identified at the location where the access road planned to meet Highland Drive. Are there any concerns from you or from the county engineer in regards to this wording?
That's Brewer's Draw. That's it's about four lots up from us, to the north of us. That's Brewer's Draw is what he's talking about, but that's not not near our lot.
No, on the April...
I think that's what he's referring to.
Member Sawyer's talking about the April 7th one that we have.
Yeah, Member Sawyer, Rhonda and I reviewed that. We had a concern ourselves about it. It's a question that we also posed to the county engineer. That's one of the reasons why we put why we're recommending some of the conditions of approval that are in there. One of the conditions of approval is that the project geologist, the project engineer, and the structural engineer for the home all get together comprehensively, address once again the potential for that landslide to become active with this. Essentially, it says they need to certify that it is free from unreasonable risk.
Okay, that's sufficient. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for the applicant?
Well, I have not really a question, but as per our code, just a little caveat, you need to be careful when hiring like your structural engineer, because you're both, well, your geologist, geotech engineer, and structural engineer must have each $1 million liability.
Pretty certain that they all do. They work, in fact, I already had the structural engineering done. Reeven Associates, a pretty significant size firm.
They are.
I don't think that's going to, we'll have any problems meeting that criteria.
Okay. Do we have any questions for staff? Member Sawyer, do you have any questions for staff?
No more questions.
Okay. Are we ready for a motion on this agenda item? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, motion on the agenda item. Sawyer, conditional. How do you pronounce that?
Sour.
All right. Conditional use permit.
Mr. Chairman.
Very soon.
I move that we forward a positive recommendation to the County Council for the sour conditional use permit for excavation of the residential building pad located at 6503 North Highland Drive, application 13.012, subject to the findings and conclusions listed in the November the 6th, 2013 staff report.
Okay, I have a motion by Member Erickson. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Member
Sessions. With the request to change it to the December 4th, because there's conditions that Rhonda sent forward,
There was some clarification that Mark wanted to
some red.
The ones that are in red, Mark.
In red, so maybe we need the December 4th ones.
Is it contained in the staff report?
Yeah, it's actually the memo that was sent out in this one.
So.
It was a staff report, but it updated December 4th.
Okay, so most of my member sessions to amend.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So this would be the December 4th, 2013 staff report.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion to amend by member Sessions to change it to the December 4th staff report. Do we have a second on the amendment?
I'll second it.
Seen by Member Newton. Any comments? Okay, I have a motion on the amendment to change it to December 4th. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, I have a motion by Member Erickson to approve the CUP with the change for the December 4th staff report. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay. Thank you, sir. Item number 6, Babcock K2 Building Solutions conditional use permit. Mike, you're up. Need you to state your name for our
Mike Babcock. I'm not the applicant, I'm the owner of the property. And Rhonda requested that I come here and talk to you about this conditional use permit.
Are you not co-applicant since you're the owner of the property? I think that's the CUP requirement.
Yeah, you actually applied and Sean was your contact person.
Okay. I stand corrected. I didn't think I was the applicant, but I guess I am.
All good.
Okay.
I thought the conditional use permit was for the business that went in there, but it doesn't matter, whatever.
But it runs with the property.
Okay.
Do we have any conditions? Do we have any questions for Member Mr. Babcock on his conditional use permit?
Can you explain a little bit the nature of the business, please?
Yes. I was a little surprised when a conditional use permit was requested for this business. I purchased this property, I'm going to say probably 18 or 19 years ago. It was zoned A20, and at the request of Morgan County and the airport manager, we rezoned it from A20 to they wanted a commercial there, and at that time there was not a commercial buffer zone that existed in Morgan County, and so I worked with the county to create a commercial buffer zone, and I believe that was the first piece of property in Morgan County that went under that zone. And we sat down and thought of all the different kinds of businesses that would go well there, and at the time realizing that probably next door would be residential, and that's what it is now. And unless the county has changed the permitted uses, the type of business that K2 Building Solutions was one of the permitted uses. They assemble construction materials, and they're not noisy, they're not dusty. It's the same kind of businesses that have been there for over 15 years. So I was surprised at a conditional use permit. Can you tell me if the code has changed or if the uses have changed for that zone?
I think from when it was originally, in fact, I know it has. So I think I was on the Planning Commission when it first, the commercial buffer zone, and it has changed. It's kind of, we have more of an industrial sprawl taking place in the commercial buffer zone, but the uses are conditional. More were added. I view this as more like manufacturing which is a conditional use. Would that, would you say it fits under a light manufacturing? It has to be one of the uses on the table, and I
wasn't involved in picking out the name of what they were going to call it there. I wouldn't necessarily call it manufacturing. They take blocks of styrofoam, and they cut it with a hot wire so that metal studs can be slid into it, and they prefabricate walls for homes, and then they put a coat of stucco on it, and they ship it out to the job sites and stand them up and hook them together, and they have a really well-insulated wall. That's, in my opinion, it's a lot friendlier to the neighborhood than a lot of businesses that are already in there.
And it will all take place indoors?
Yes.
Well, for the record, I'm confused why a commercial buffer zone has to have a conditional use permit, period.
Well, I think
that was the purpose of a commercial zone.
Well, it just depends on what the business is that's going in there. I can think of a lot of reasons why some businesses would need a conditional use permit, because some businesses are dusty and noisy and right next door to residential. They want to put some conditions on them, so if they cause problems for the neighbors, that can be addressed. If they just have an open ticket to do whatever they want in there, then I could see where that probably wouldn't work, especially in a commercial buffer zone.
So what type of tools does he operate? What does he use?
Well, they cut the foam with a, it's a big table with hot wires on it, and the wires get hot and it cuts the foam. Doesn't make any noise. It's just really simple and easy. They cut the metal studs with a metal cutting saw, and they screw them together. And the rest of it's just handwork, where they put stucco on it and put them on a trailer and ship them out to the job site. I had heard that somebody had written a letter or called and had some concerns about the business that was going in there. Was there someone that was?
I think more the sound, and I think we can maybe address that by having it limit the decibel level at 650 feet away from the business, which is where the residents are.
Is there a decibel limit for sound?
85 is a damaging, above 85.
Okay.
So what you're explaining, I don't think would ever get above 85, but
not at that distance.
I'm not sure exactly how loud that is, but
it says 81 is a standard vacuum cleaner.
I guess it just depends on how close you are to the vacuum, right?
Yeah, that's 100 feet away.
Well, but if the decibel is measured at 650, I would even probably go a lower decibel.
Yeah.
Probably more like a 48. That's like a refrigerator running.
I was going to, somebody told me they're in the process of redoing this part of the code and what's allowed next to residents and that. And I was going to suggest that they put a noise limit on it. Say, if you make more than this much noise, that's not compatible. I think that's a really good way to do it, because it's really hard for you to sit there and figure out how noisy a business is going to be.
Any other questions, Mr. Babcock? Member Sawyer, any questions?
No, you stole my question.
Okay. All right. Staff, do you have any comment? Do we have any questions for staff?
I don't have any further comments from the last time.
Okay. Accept the motion on the agenda item, K2 Building Solutions. Commissioner, use permit.
Mr. Chair, I move we forward a positive recommendation to the County Council for the K2 Building Solutions Incorporated conditional use permit for general contract construction services, file number 13.120, subject to the findings and conditions listed in the October 17, 2013 staff report, and as modified by adding condition number 9, that the sound level at 650 feet from the business be less than 50 decibels.
Be less than?
Mm-hmm.
How many decibels, sir?
50.
Be less than 50 decibels. Okay, have a motion by Member Sessions. We have a second.
I'll second it.
Second by Member Wilson. Any comments?
Yeah, one comment. I don't know how we came up with 50 without some sort of a logical understanding of where we got to that.
We did discuss that in the last meeting. Based on some readings that we've got and the closest, I actually did some measurements to see what the closest residence was, and we went over the decibel levels measured at 81 down to about 48. So.
Yeah, I understand that we've done some checking, but it is my understanding that the noise level only is problematic in terms of health, at least, above 85. Maybe an audiologist of some sort could explain what would be, you know, not affecting your hearing or whatever you want to call it. But I think we've just arbitrarily picked 50, and we have no basis for that. That's my concern.
That's a good question. I thought about that also, and I just figured that they looked and saw what other people do in other places like this and went with that. But
this pertains to our 50 decimals?
Yes.
Okay.
My concern is noise not necessarily for help, but for annoyance. Yeah. And we did have the letter complaining that this commercial buffer zone is abutting a residential, but the uses in the commercial buffer zone have changed to be more industrial. So I want to make sure we're not, it's more of an annoyance if they're in their yard to have to listen. At 81, like you say, a vacuum cleaner, I don't think you, it's kind of hard to talk over a vacuum cleaner. So if you're in your backyard and that noise level is constant.
Well, the problem I'm having with this whole deal is these people knew the industrial park was there.
They knew a commercial buffer zone was there, not an industrial park.
So they
park.
Knew it was going to be noisy. To a point.
To a point.
To a point. Not necessarily. A lot of commercial uses were doctor's offices. And it has changed over the years. So that's my only concern. And hopefully we are revisiting this and we can make some changes. Either change the zone till industrial. Or, you know.
So do you want to make an amendment to the motion? You want to leave it the way it is?
I would like to leave it the way it is. And I don't mind going further and then getting somebody that has the credentials to tell us what those volumes and numbers are.
What's
and
it
then
mean?
Applying it. But for us to just arbitrarily pick 50 without any basis, I think that could be challenged, and we could probably lose that challenge.
Okay, so you can either leave the motion, or you can...
Well, I'm saying leave the motion the way it is.
Okay.
We did put conditions on the last business that went in there on decibel levels, too.
What level did we put on that last business? Because we ought to keep it consistent, I would think.
48 decibels, which was comparable to a refrigerator home. And that was actually...
48?
48. That's why I said 48. Less than 50. I would just... rounding.
And that's at 650 feet from this
which
place.
Which is a long ways.
That's a long way.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll ever hit that.
No, I don't either.
You measured 81 decibels there one day?
Those were the comparisons for the Burns and Woodworks. So 81's getting right.
That's what I'm asking. No, you went and measured that. You caught that. 81.
Yeah, we got those in. We got those with some the decibel readings from the applicant.
Okay, so we're leaving it at 50? You amended it?
I kind of feel like we need to change it to 48 to be consistent with the other. I mean, I agree with the rounding because it's simple, but I worry about consistency with other businesses in the area.
That's fine.
Okay.
Is that okay?
So we amend it?
We do that?
Make
I'll make a motion to amend from 50 to 48 decibels. That's 650 feet.
Motion by Member Newton to amend from 50 decibels to 48. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Any other comments?
I have a question for staff. Is this something that we should take up in a staff meeting and then put into the Morgan County Code somewhere? Or?
It's in the works as we speak.
Okay.
You know that group you joined?
Yeah.
Okay. Motion on the amendment. Change it from 50 to 48 decibels. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Member Erickson. Okay. Second. Okay. Main motion will now be the item number 9. Is it the sound level at 650 feet from business be less than 48 decimals? All those in favor of the main motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, motion passes. Okay.
Thank you. Does the Planning Commission have plans to revisit the uses permitted in that zone?
Yes.
Yes.
Part of the plan.
Would it? Is there any way that I could be involved in that?
Talk to him.
Yeah, I would appreciate being involved in that if they're going to change the permitted uses there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Where did I lose Rex Wilkinson? Item number 7, Coventry Cove PUD. Well, there we go. Okay. You'd state your name for
Rex Wilkinson. You've got the report, I'm assuming. We just need to add about 5,000 square feet onto the backside of Lot 10.
That's my understanding. You're not reducing any of your required open space for your PUD, correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't bring my hearing aids. You got to speak up.
Oh, it's my understanding you're not reducing your open space
No.
required for your PUD.
No.
Okay, we're just adding on the back.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what about an updated letter on your will, sir?
Yeah, that should be in your report.
Well, these are dated 04.
Well, that's part of the subdivision. That had really, that's already been passed.
Okay. Any questions for Member for Mr. Wilkinson?
Sorry.
Any questions for staff? Okay. Member Sawyer, are you hearing okay?
Yep, I got it.
You're kind of quiet.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't have any questions for this one.
Okay. All right, motion on the agenda item.
Mr. Chair, I move we forward a positive recommendation to the County Council for the Coventry Cove subdivision, a planned unit development, amendment number 2, file number 13.002, subject to the conditions and based on the findings presented in the staff report dated December 4th, 2013.
Okay, have a motion by Member Sessions. We have a second.
Second.
Second by Member Erickson. Any comments, questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Was that an aye, Member Sawyer?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Item number 8, Johnson Surrey Lane Estate Subdivision Amendment 2 request by Matt and Jen Johnson. Okay, we'll make this real quick here. Do we have any questions by any members of the Planning Commission for Member Johnson, from Mr. Johnson? Any member, any questions for staff? Okay, motion on the agenda item. This might be quick.
Been there, done this.
Okay. Need a motion from someone.
I'll make the motion.
Member Newton.
I move we forward a positive recommendation to the County Council for the final plat for Surrey Lanes Estate, PRUD, amendment number 2, file number 13.098, subject to the conditions and based on the findings presented in the staff report dated December 5th, 2013.
Yeah, motion by Member Newton. We have a second.
Second.
Second by Member Erickson. Any comments or questions? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Item number 9, Wilkinson Acres Subdivision. Okay. Any questions, Mr. All? State your name first.
John Wilkinson.
Any questions from Mr. Wilkinson on the subdivision concept plan? Any questions for staff? All right.
Other than my normal statement on granting another exception to the rule, we just need to change the rule.
Oh,
we granted, okay. We created I don't know how many lots.
I understand.
Without
okay.
Improving the infrastructure. So.
Okay, well, then we'll go to a motion on the agenda item Wilkinson Acre Subdivision Number 2 Concept Plan.
Mr. Chair, I move we forward a positive recommendation for the Wilkinson Acre Subdivision Number 2 Concept Plan Application 13.153 as listed in the December 5th, 2013 staff report.
Okay, motion by Member Sessions. We have a second.
Second.
Second by Member Newton. Any questions, comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Item number 10, General Plan Ordinance Annual Update.
Mr. Chairman, moving right along, I don't want to take the planning too much of the Planning Commission's time. There was two things that I wanted to do for the Planning Commission by the end of the year. I got one of them done. The other one's going to come in January. And this one is just putting together the list of ordinances that we're going to be working on in 2014, as well as general plan changes that we're going to be working on in 2014. County Council did not fund an outsourced general plan update for 2014, and so we'll be working on that in-house. So we're just going to work on that as we can. And so for the for the updates for the general plan, we want to look at first the future street plan. Morgan County doesn't have one. We got some old stuff, fragments of street plans from old area plans. We'd like to take those, consolidate them into one future street plan, and then look at other areas, dead-end roads throughout the county, areas that good logical connections could be made to provide for reasonable services, emergency services, as well as provide for a an orderly development of land. So we're just going to make suggestions on that. We're not going to, you know, come in and say these need to be done. But the one thing the planning committee or the county council said has to be done is a potential realignment of the extension of Trappers Loop Road, so that if we don't get that right of way that the Johnsons have promised us through their property, they give us 2 years to purchase that property. If we can't purchase that within 2 years, we're out that connection to I-84 through their property. We're going to need to find another way. So next year we're going to study what possible planned alternatives could be through the neighboring Baxter property. That's future street plan. Future land use map amendment adjacent to Morgan City. The Planning Commission asked us, so it's been almost a year now, the Meekum rezone and the Freed rezone came up during those discussions. You guys asked us to take a look at the city's annexation plan and do a little bit more of a comprehensive future land use planning and study around the city, see if we can do some cooperation with the city. For example, the general plan says consideration will be given to properties within half a mile of city boundaries for additional density. Well, if you look at the city plan, they've got their areas that they want additional density. And so it doesn't make sense to provide for additional density right up next to the city boundaries unless that flows with their annexation plan. And then the other thing that I've noticed as staff, and we've noticed as staff, I've had a few conversations with a few planning commissioners in the general plan, is we've got a designation for recreational uses. And we've also got a little bit of text about recreational uses, but they don't flow well together. And we don't have a lot of ordinances about recreational uses. In fact, if you were to look in the allowed uses and the use tables, there's not a lot in there about allowed recreational uses. Going up in the hills for hiking, camping, hunting, recreational camps, that kind of stuff. There's just not a lot in there. I don't think it's intended that kind of stuff's restricted at this time. It's just not specifically saying that it's permitted. So we want to take a look at that. And I know part of that discussion will stimulate with at least one council member, perhaps more in the council level, discussion about a potential recreational zone as well in the county. So something coming down the pipeline. As far as ordinances go, tried to give you guys a comprehensive list of what we're looking at here with just a small statement. We have our ordinance update committee meeting on the 19th next week. Just sent out an email to the three of the planning commissioners on that, as well as the council members that are going to be involved. And the first thing that they've asked to tackle is the item that Member Sessions mentioned, the exception to the rule on public infrastructure. And so we're going to see what we can do to have a good, solid discussion about that, find out if the code needs to be changed. If it does, what does it need to be changed to? And then from there, streamlining commercial code, providing for streamlining of conditional use permits in both commercial zones and the residential and agricultural multiple use and forestry zones, and then hitting the recreational town center, and then moving on from there with the small fixes that we've acknowledged need to be done. So I want to, this is my report to the Planning Commission. I'm keeping track of what you're asking me to do. I know it doesn't come back every single meeting. We had a really busy year. This year was really focused on applicants. And depending on how this next year goes, we're hoping to get a lot of this stuff tackled. So, any questions?
I have a couple for you. The Johnson property, the county has the obligation to buy that right away, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, we couldn't exact that from them. That would have been a legal exaction. And so they have...
Don't they have an interest in having it there as well?
That argument could be made. It could be made the opposite as well. It just depends on what product they're going to market in that particular area. And so I would, for commercial base, I would say that would be a really good
asset. So if it didn't work out for whatever reason, where would it go in your opinion?
We've already started looking at the neighboring property owner said, hey, if he doesn't sell his property to you, I'll just give you mine as long as it opens it up. He's in the general plan. I wish I had the map right here. The general plan for his property shows vehicle-oriented commercial, the future land use map. Not on the zoning map yet, but it's a potential, and he's going to need access there. And so if he gifts that area to the county, he'll be in a better position to then install a road and have a potential future 84 connector. But that will run, his name is Mr. Baxter, and we're still going to need to communicate more with him to make sure he's still on the same page. But that would run around the Johnson property, across the Old Highway Road, and then cut across the front side, go around the front side of Rollins and the Warner's property and go through the gravel pit.
Have you heard any indication of what UDOT's take is on that?
Yes.
Last I heard, they were not too interested in it.
It's on a plan. They are interested. It is on a plan. It's not on their 5-year plan. It's not on their 10-year plan. It's on their unfunded plan. Yep. But it's there. There's a lot of other needs that aren't even on that plan. And there, the price tag on an interchange in that location just keeps on going up, at least on the location where the rest area is. But if we were to move it just a little bit to the east where that the corridor there with the train tracks and the freeway opens up a little bit more, there could be more room for an interchange.
And then if I can, I hate to waste your time, but I was just curious when you start talking about a recreational center and trails and whatnot in the mountains, how does that work where your county is heavily privately owned?
Yeah, it obviously wouldn't be any mandate. Unless the county was ready to pay for it, and so that's how that works. Eminent domain, but I don't see eminent domain happening in this county for a very long time unless there was a really big push for it. And public trails is not one of those things. And so it would come down to individual landowners volunteering for that if they choose to do so.
Okay, thank you.
Back to the freeway interchange thing. I mean, I've done a bit of research with those boys, and that ain't going to happen. So is there any possibility of getting some common sense changes to the current circumstance so that you have both way exiting and so forth, so at least you can get on and off at that interchange?
At the existing interchange? We haven't even had that dialogue with UDOT. I'll bet that conversation has been had. I just haven't been invited to the table on it. And so let me see if I can do some sleuthing around, find out what the comments are regarding that. It's still a pretty tight fit, but not unreasonable, not impossible. Right. You can see right where that on-off ramp can go.
Right. My indicators from the people that work there
right.
is that you're dreaming.
Now, I think... And this is no offense to UDOT. We have a council member who works for UDOT. They're a little bit more reactive. They start planning once they see the demand rather than once they see, rather than at the beginning where they see the trends flowing that way. It's more of a demand-based plan, which there's no problem in doing that. However, I think once you get Johnson to full build out, Snow Basin closer to full build out, and I know we're talking about 50 years there, then you're going to see a lot higher demand for something. And so either we evolve to facilitate with our existing infrastructure to facilitate all of that, or we push. So if it's not on a plan, the benefit of having it on a plan is if you can get on a capital facilities plan, you get on your general plan, those kind of steps in the right direction that the county can make. Give the Fed and the state a lot, or give us a lot higher chances of getting grants to the Fed and state on the potential. So,
but you'd have to do that same thing at the other interchange.
Yep.
So
I'm sure.
where do you want to spend your money? I guess right. is what my thoughts are. But,
other questions? Okay, well, as you guys find errors in your code or issues that you want us to tackle, just tell me. I'm keeping a list. checking it twice.
One more for the road thing. We had that 60-foot discussion over and over and over and over again. Is that included in the road thing to try to resolve that with the, particularly with the state, so that you don't get 15 different people telling you what the rules are?
We have resolved what our right-of-way width is, and we did that a few years ago. But getting the state to commit to a standard right-of-way width is maybe a little bit different. So I know if you were in a more populated area, they would tell us what their planned right-of-way width is. But up here, especially where it comes down to prescriptive and historical rights of passage, the judges have said it's whatever is reasonable and necessary to carry safe two-way vehicle traffic, which includes drainage and snow storage. And so if we can reasonably facilitate that without 60 feet, that's, I mean, essentially what they're saying is we're not going to take a position until we have to on an individual project, because we don't want it to be misconstrued that we're just going to start taking 60-foot swaths of people's property.
Yeah, the discussion, again, I've had with them, which is different people, but
yeah,
but the indication I had from them was that all they really need to do is get a legal document that says that since, like, 66 is a previous county road,
mm-hmm.
which they took over,
mm-hmm.
That all it would take is a legal document that says that criteria reverts back to the county.
Yeah, I did have a conversation about this with the state ombudsman, Brent Bateman,
mm-hmm.
and he said it's very commonly misconstrued that where a right-of-way has not been defined by purchasing or by dedication or by use, if it hasn't been defined, it's very commonly misconstrued that it's just 66 feet. And that comes from an actual document that it was a legal opinion given by an attorney, I can't remember what county it was in, to their community development staff and a developer about what their right-of-way is. However, that particular case was never brought before a judge. And so what Mr. Bateman told me was it's case by case, and don't assume that just because your standard says 60, you're going to get 60 if you have to go in and if you have to go in and exact it. Or conversely, and let me word that a little bit differently, you can get 60, it's just you got to pay for it in some cases. So a lot of times it's just on a application by application basis, we say, well, if you want to have that development there, you're going to give up this portion of property. And when we do that, we've got all the legal basis of law to ask them to dedicate that, like Mr. Wilkinson will be doing on the frontage of his property and like many other people do when they subdivide. But without them volunteering in order for them to get their permit approved or their subdivision approved, it's a matter of getting
them. So the answer is no, is what I'm hearing.
The answer is it depends.
We're not going to pursue that.
I have pursued that. The answer is
To a resolve. I know you've talked to people. To a resolve
right.
of the problem.
Yeah. I don't know how to better answer your question. It's not no. It's evolving. It's developing.
Okay.
Let's keep it that way. The answer is, can I give you an absolute answer? The answer to that is no.
No, I wasn't expecting that. I'm just wondering if it was on the agenda.
Other questions?
Okay. Okay. We'll be able to play the commission calendar. Motion to approve the Planning Commission calendar for 2014.
I move we approve the 2014 Planning Commission calendar.
We have a second.
Second.
Member Erickson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. including, I'm assuming your staff report was included in number 10?
Yes.
Okay. So we're to the minutes. Michaela.
Page 2. Okay, what about page 3? Is Roland not going to have
you,
a problem?
Are you?
This was you a test for Roland to see if he read the minutes.
You want your phone in the minutes?
Oh, hold on. Where were you at? Where are you at?
We're on page 3.
Nikita's checking to make sure you read your minutes.
Well. That's right. Well, I don't know. You two are the ones that do that. Oh, you are such a smart guy.
We will take that.
I thought it was wonderful.
All I worry about is the motions and who done what. I don't care what's written in the rest of the stuff.
But you can take that out now.
Yes, you can take that out, but I love it. You did good.
We got it on the recording.
You are so much in trouble. Okay, all right.
Page 3, any other, anything important? Okay, how about page 4?
Yeah, I'm kept for a good laugh. You can leave it there, Karen.
Well, we all got slapped.
Nothing on page 4. How about page 5?
Actually, I'm good all the way.
You
do.
You did good. You did good.
All right. Motion to approve the minutes. So with the exception of removing that them two lines.
With the smiley face.
On page 3.
So moved.
Member Newton, I have a second.
I'll second it.
Member Sessions. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Member Erickson. Second?
Second.
Member Wilson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting is adjourned.
Good job, gentlemen and ladies.
I love that.
That was a fun time.
That was.
Sign me a good one.
This is a good one.
Sign me a good
one. Sign me a good one.
What's all this?
I think we lost David. Hey there, David. All right. Okay. That's his name. I just want to do that.